Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning. Welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your life. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and it is always done without any manipulation. That means there's never a hidden agenda here. There's never anything for you to join. There's never anything to sell you. This show simply is about the Word of God. This is where we articulate God's Word. We never negotiate. We articulate. That's why it's not a call-in show. It's not a dialogue. It's a monologue. It's me teaching the Word of God, and if you listen, you can orient and adjust to God's plan for your life by verifying and identifying what I'm telling you is true. You have enough sense to know if I'm an idiot, if I'm a weirdo, so listen for a few minutes. Pay close attention, and you might find yourself being challenged, and you might find yourself hearing things you've never heard before, or at least put in a way that you've never heard it put before. If this is your first time to listen, this is the Flotline, F-L-O-T, and that is a military acronym for the forward line of troops. Our show is always about deploying into the forward compartment of your soul the Word of God. And if you learn the 10 problem-solving devices, the premise that this show is built upon, and you deploy them in the forward compartments of your soul, then you will be able to stop the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. You see, adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. However, if you don't learn the Word of God and don't deploy the Word of God to the forward compartments of your soul, then you will convert adversity into stress and stress-related sins, such as anger and fear and worry and guilt, bitterness, hostility. These are all emotional sins that flare up as a result of adversity. And you want to know the truth about it. Most of the adversity that we get into is a result of our own bad decisions. It's not necessarily because we were a victim of some environmental problem or, you know, like a forest fire, an earthquake, or a flood, or a tsunami. It's like we make our own bad decisions. Most of the suffering that we experience is because we mismanage our personal health, or we mismanage our personal finances, or we mismanage our personal responsibilities. But I'm not here to sell you some package that's going to make you feel better. I'm here to teach you the Word of God. I'm here to look for those believers in Jesus Christ that are hungry to learn truth. And I'm here to look for those people that have never made that decision yet, and yet are objective enough to listen. Sometimes you'll run into someone that says, I'm an agnostic, and if he's honest, he simply says, I don't have enough information on which to make a decision yet. Unfortunately, this is not about rationalism or empiricism. This is about pisticism, which is the Greek word pistis, or faith. In order to become a believer in Jesus Christ, it is required that you have faith. That's why the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it's a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. And so when you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, then the Spirit of God will indwell you and seal you until the day of redemption. Christ will come and live inside of you as the Holy Spirit prepares a temple for Him. And you will begin to experience the most phenomenal thing the world has ever seen. It's called the Christian life. It's possible to live in the middle of adversity, in the middle of the worst conditions in the world, and never be afraid, never be angry, never be bitter, but to have a wonderful life using the problem-solving devices found in the Word of God. And so, we talk about those problem-solving devices on this radio show, and we've been doing it now for quite a while. If this is your first time, we dealt with problem-solving device number one, which is rebound. That's found in the scripture called 1 John 1:9, where the Bible says, if we confess our sin, God then is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. The first problem that you and I have is that we sin every day, don't we? We don't always do the same sins. Some people sin in the mental attitude sins, you know, mental attitude sins like worry or hatred or jealousy or bitterness. And some people sin by sins of the tongue, the Bible talks about, like lying or slander or gossip. And some people sin overtly, like stealing or murder or whatever. We don't all sin the same way, but we all sin. Most of us sin while we're driving our cars. and we lose it. We get mad. And emotions take over and blow all the wisdom out of our soul. And we lose our objective thinking and we get subjective and we get mad at that person. Happens every day. Happens to me, too. I'm not perfect. And so I learn these problem-solving devices and I deploy the problem-solving devices on the flat line of my soul so that when adversity hits, I do not have to get angry. I do not have to get afraid. This is what the Christian life is all about. And this is what Jesus Christ, our Lord, demonstrated to you. Problem-solving the device number one, he never had to use it because he never sinned. He was the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish that takes away the sin of the world. Problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Spirit. Yes, he did use that. Yes, he was filled with the Spirit. Problem-solving device number three, the faith rest drill. Yes, he did use that. Where he said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Have you ever tried to coerce God into doing your will? Have you ever prayed and asked God to do something and it didn't get done and you went back and prayed again? Paul did this. The Apostle Paul did it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he prayed three times for God to take away the thorn in his flesh. He tried to coerce God, and God said, look, I'm not going to answer your prayer. You're asking me to take away the very thing that's helping you. My grace is sufficient. Problem-solving device number four, grace orientation. And we're going to study problem-solving device number five today, which is doctrinal orientation. We'll explain what that means. So this means we've been through five. We've been through problem-solving device number one, rebound. Problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Spirit. That handles my sin-infused human nature. So you can live under one of the two. You can live under control of the Spirit or the flesh. And that's why the Bible says the flesh wars against the Spirit. And the Spirit wars against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So that you don't do the things that you would. You have a battle every day. And then there's the faith rest drill. That's a great problem-solving device. That's where you pick up the shield of faith. That's where you stand on the promises of God. And then there's grace orientation. That's living grace, saving grace, dying grace, surpassing grace. We spent quite a bit of time on this show explaining all the ramifications of the grace of God. Now we want to move into doctrinal orientation and try to explain to you exactly what that means. And why the word doctrine is so important to you. Will you stay with me? Will you listen to me? Please do. I want to go into problem-solving device number five, doctrinal orientation. It's a tremendous problem-solving device. It's based on the Word of God that I call doctrine, the Word of God. The doctrine of God, I'm not talking about some church doctrine, I'm talking about the doctrine of God, the Word of God circulating in your stream of consciousness. You see, you have a conscience that's part of the format of your soul. It's like a stream or a river, and it never quits flowing. Even the subconscious is always there. And you see, when you put the Word of God in the stream of consciousness, then the Word of God begins to purify your thinking. See, it's like clearing that muddy stream up. And you begin to think divine viewpoint instead of human viewpoint. You know why the Word of God can do this? Because the Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that it's piercing to separate the soul and the spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to evaluate the thoughts and the motivations of the heart. So when you take the Word of God and extrapolate those 10 problem-solving devices out of it, and you learn them, then one of the things that happen is that that doctrine starts circulating in your stream of consciousness. And this is the basis for what we call doctrinal orientation, or orienting everything that you do to Bible doctrine. In other words, is there a biblical standard for everything that I do? Yes, there is. And it's found in the Word of God. Now, when you get into doctrinal orientation, it's a wonderful way to live. You see, there's no substitute for Bible doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness. Because you're either going to think human viewpoint or you're going to think divine viewpoint, and Satan's going to do all that he can to keep you from thinking divine viewpoint. So I want you to get familiar with the term Bible doctrine. It's just nomenclature we use on our show. It refers to the sum total of God's Word that you need to learn and put to use in your life. That's what it refers to. Without Bible doctrine, without the Word of God, you will have no answers, no solutions, no motivation for your life. You'll run out. Somebody say, why did that happen? You'll say, I don't know. You won't have any solutions. You won't know whether you're in the will of God or whether you're out of the will of God. You won't have any motivation. You see, what is the greatest motivation you could ever have in your life? It's personal love for God. That is the number one motivation in the Christian's life. You know what the Bible says? It says we love Him because He first loved us. And that is wonderful motivation of personal love for God. That's why the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my mandates, and they're not hard. So without doctrine, there's no answers, no solution, no motivation for your life. And that's why God instructs us that we are to study His Word. For example, in 2 Timothy 2:15, where the Bible says we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's why the church is the classroom for the Christian. I know you went to school and you'll like to think about going to school again, but this is where most people misunderstand why we have church. Most people think we go to church to worship. See, that's what most people think. Yeah, I'm going to go worship the Lord. And so they sing a few songs and they raise their hands and they get the joy, joy, thump, thump down in their heart and they think they're worshiping. Listen, God said, I'm looking for people, and you can read it for yourself in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, people that not only know me, but understand me. And I'm telling you, you can't worship a God you don't understand. Do you know Him? Oh, yeah, I know Him. You say, I know He's there. I know He's real. Do you understand Him? How would I understand Him? Well, the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You must learn to think like Christ thought. And you must learn, the Bible says, He humbled Himself. The first thing you have to understand about God is He requires humility. The Bible says He makes war against the arrogant, but He gives grace to the humble. And if you're ever going to experience the grace of God, you must approach God in humility. He knows who you are. He knows what your limits are, so you don't play games with God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 27 and 28, we need to serve God with respect and caution because we serve a God of fire. God doesn't tolerate insubordination. God doesn't tolerate misrepresentation of His Word and compromising His justice. So what the righteousness of God rejects, then the justice of God judges. That's why the classroom is very important. That's why the local church is very important. And that's why the job of a pastor, teacher, the man that God has called to teach His Word, he must spend time studying. He must study the Word of God and bring it forth to his congregation and teach them what the Word of God says. It's not his job to send you home with a little book called Daily Devotion and for you to learn it yourself, for you to open this little book and read 5 minutes out of it every morning. I mean, that might be fine and wonderful, but you're never going to become a mature believer doing that. He has the job to study and teach the Word of God to his congregation. And quite frankly, many pastors fail to do this, and they spend most of their time visiting and counseling people in the congregation. Some of the larger congregations that get really large, well, pastors don't have time to do much of anything except organize the agenda. Now, come on, everybody likes a visit from the pastor. We all do. We all like his wise advice. But the most thing that we need from him is his expertise in studying and teaching the Word of God. Because the Bible says he's a shepherd and we're sheep. We're dumb sheep. I know I don't like to think of myself as a dumb sheep, but sheep wander off. Sheep fall into ditches and the shepherd has to rescue us. The shepherd has to protect us. It's his job to see to it that we are fed. It's his job to see to it that we're protected from the wolves. And we're not to be confused. So the process that you and I learn under, how do we get this doctrinal orientation? That process is called the process of metabolizing the Word of God. Metabolization is like when you eat a hamburger and you metabolize it and convert it into fuel or energy for the body. See, when you metabolize Bible doctrine, it's when you go to church and you hear a man who's prepared teach it to you. And you're filled with the Spirit, so the Holy Spirit picks it up and brings it into your mind where you understand it, and then you metabolize it, which means by faith you believe it and you apply it. And when you believe it and apply it into your life, and it becomes spiritual dynamics called wisdom. Sophia is the Greek word. And that's the metabolization, this is a word, the metabolization of the Word of God. When that pastor studies and teaches, God, the Holy Spirit, helps us understand these truths. But he can't help us if we have unconfessed sin in our life. If we're sitting in church and we have known sin in our life, I don't care how good the pastor studied, I don't care how articulate he is, how thorough he is, how organized he is, if you have known sin in your life, you obviously are in the right place, the local church, the classroom, but you're in the wrong way. You've quenched and grieved the Spirit of God, and he cannot help you. So you have to use problem-solving device number one before you get in that church. Before you sit under the teaching of the Word of God, you have to rebound. And any pastor worth his salt would tell his congregation right up front before church even starts, don't try to listen to me if you're out of fellowship with God with known sin in your life. Go to God and confess it right now first. I'll give you some time of privacy, time that you can be alone and confess your sin to God, and then we can study the Word of God together. Unfortunately, I seldom hear that in a local church. So once you begin to hear and understand the information taught in the Bible, you have half of it. You have what's called in the Bible the Greek word G-N-O-S-I-S. G-N-O-S-I-S. That's called gnosis. But what you really need is called E-P-I. G-N-O-S-I-S. And that is Greek word epi is a preposition meaning full. And gnosis is the word knowledge. So there's a difference between knowledge and full knowledge. And the difference is you have not metabolized knowledge, but full knowledge you have. You've cycled it through your soul so that now it becomes spiritual energy in the form of wisdom inside of you. Now here's the problem that you face there. Once you learn this doctrine, once you cycle it through your soul, then the next thing is to go back and recall it and use it whenever the circumstances come forward that you need it for. Because you have to apply it. You have to learn it, believe it, and apply it. And it may be a month before you apply what you learned last week. But once it hits, so you're going to be tested on it. Then you have to apply it. And there's another test. The first test is will you listen or not listen? The second test is will you believe or not believe? And the third test is, will you apply or not apply? So you could fail at any one of the three steps along the way. But if the pastor doesn't teach you God's Word, then you're in trouble. If all he is an organizer and he has a social agenda and he's in charge of getting the kids over here, getting the senior adults over there to that place, and so he hires this guy and that guy and this big program going, and he's in charge of the fundraising, and we got the goal going on, and we're going to build this, and we're going to build that. And when he gets into the pulpit, he's, what does he teach you, 15 minutes? Is that what you like to eat for a meal? You like appetizers. So every meal you have an appetizer. You see, if your pastor's not feeding you an entree, if he's not teaching you the Word of God, you better go find some other place to eat because you're going to starve to death. Better quit worrying about what people are going to think about you and go find you another place to eat a good meal. Because the pastor's job is to teach you the Word of God. And if he doesn't, and you start trying to go to outside assistance and don't go find another pastor, then you're going to get confused. So there are all kind of books and tapes available for you to choose from, some really well-qualified men that I know that I could recommend. But I don't know any man that charges money for his material. So if some pastor says, I got something you should study, and if you'll order it from me, it's only $19.95, forget it. I can tell you where you can get all of the Word of God you can handle for the rest of your life, and it will never cost you a nickel. That's the way it should be. The Bible said we got it free, we're supposed to give it away free. So the men that I know that are teaching the Word of God are not trying to financially support what they're doing. They're just trusting the Lord to support it, and he always does. So, I mean, my own personal human mentor, my own pastor, taught the Word of God for over 53 years as the pastor of one church. 53 years at one church. And supplied thousands and thousands of books and tapes at literally no cost. Other men may write a book and sell it at the bookstore. You may go in and browse, say, oh, isn't this catchy little phrase? Look at this catchy little thing. I've read them all, and there's nothing in them. Find you a man that'll teach you the Word of God and sit under that man and start growing. Because if you're going to grow spiritually, if you're ever going to have any doctrinal orientation, you're going to have to take in the Word of God every day. You're going to have a man that has a gift, a pastor, teacher. You're going to have a Bible. You're going to have a notebook. And you're going to have to sit down. And I always have a little cliche, a little funny thing that I say, but show up, shut up, and fake it till you make it. Sit down, be quiet, open your Bible, and listen to the teaching of the Word of God. I know people that do it in their kitchen. I know people that do it in their bedroom. I know people that do it in the church sanctuary. Wherever they are, they might not even live in the city where the pastor teaches, but they get the tapes and they listen every day and they grow. And they are phenomenal people because they have doctrinal orientation. And as you begin to learn the Word of God every day, you will find yourself asking this question. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? The Bible says it's got answers for any question you have. You'll begin to see how God's Word relates to every area of your life, how it relates to your parents, how it relates to your marriage, how it relates to your finances, how it relates to anything. And there's one thing I want to point out to you, and I want you to remember. It's one simple word. It's called retention. Retention. It's a very important word, because if the rate of forgetting exceeds the rate of learning, then you're not going to retain anything. The things that you learn, you may not retain. And so, there's the need for repetition. Repetition. When I was playing football, we would often practice the same play 15, 20 times a day. And I would say, Coach, why we already run this play, 10 times a day? Why are we running it again? He'd look at me and give me that look and say, we're going to run it till you can do it in your sleep, dummy. That's what repetition is, till it becomes second nature. So if you're faithful to study daily, and you get some repetition, you don't fall behind and lose your spiritual momentum. If you're thinking in terms of Bible doctrine or the Word of God, and you're relating it to every area in your life, that's when you have the supreme happiness the Bible talks about. That's where Jesus said happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's Word and keep it. Now, if you're ever going to be an adult believer in Jesus Christ, you've got to be free to make your own decisions. You have to be free to succeed or fail on your own and take responsibility for your decisions. And listen, you'll never be a mature believer until you take the responsibility for your own decisions. And the first decision you have to make is, am I willing to grow? Am I willing to do whatever it takes to grow spiritually? Or am I content just to play this game? Am I content to go on Sunday morning along with a nod to God crowd, put on my best suit, put on my tie, put on my dress, go to church, say hello, God, goodbye, God, see you next Sunday, God. If you're content to do that, after you have believed in Christ, if that's enough for you, you're never going to be a winner believer. You're never going to be a mature believer. You're never going to be part of the pivot that sustains this great nation. Because the Bible says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear their prayer and heal their land. You know whose responsibility it is to lead this nation in the way that God would have it go? It's you and me. Our spiritual lives are direct indications of what's happening in our country. As goes our spiritual life, so goes the future destiny of America. And if you ignore and reject the Word of God, don't complain when you lose everything, because it'll happen. Because God said, unto whom much is given, much is expected. And He has given all of us much. But so many of us are more concerned about the gifts than the giver. And we fail to orient to doctrine. There is no substitute for Bible doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness. There's no substitute for this, because the Word of God will penetrate into the human soul, into the deepest recesses of your soul, and into the human spirit by means of the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he takes what that pastor teaches and he lubricates your life with the Word of God, as he penetrates it deep into your soul. You have the ability to understand what that pastor is teaching, the infallible Word of God. You have the ability to learn it and to retain it. See, that's why God gave you the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God, as you learn it and retain it and cycle it through your conscience, it begins to evaluate your thoughts. It begins to evaluate your motives. That's what it says. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it's able to evaluate the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's what it does. It changes you. It gives you direction. It gives you objectivity. When you have Bible doctrine in your soul, in your stream of consciousness, then you can evaluate your own life. It's amazing to see this. It's amazing to understand the importance of doctrinal orientation as a wonderful problem-solving device in your life. The Word of God is designed to make us effective believers. Effective how? Well, as we execute God's will and God's plan and God's purpose for our life. God wants us to be effective, not non-effective. God wants us to have an impact, not a non-impact. God wants you to glorify Jesus Christ in your life. And how can you do it if you don't know what the Bible says? If you don't have any doctrinal orientation? So some preacher says, oh, you want to be a good Christian? Let's get a sign and go march at 7-Eleven where they're selling those dirty books and you'll be a good Christian. That is wrong. That is crusader arrogance. God didn't call you to march at the 7-Eleven. God calls you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to lift him up so that he can reconcile the world to God. Your job is to exploit Jesus Christ to the maximum, glorify him to the maximum, not run around as a Christian activist trying to straighten up the devil's world. You can't do it. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do it from your soul as to the Lord and not to men. And in 2 Thessalonians 3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will sustain you, and he will guard you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing his will, and you will continue to do what he mandates. See, one of the greatest distractions to ever getting doctrinal orientation is a spirit of rivalry within the church, competing in the church, competing with other believers, trying to get attention, trying to be the center of attention. If you're going to live your life, you live your life as unto the Lord and not as unto man. The Bible's clear about that. So doctrinal orientation is based on the correct understanding of the inspiration of the Scriptures. You've got to remember this, that the Scriptures are inspired of God. You can't say, well, some of them are from God and some of them are from man, and I don't know which one is which. You're wrong. They're all from God. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be capable and equipped for every good work. You've got to believe that or you're never going to get any doctrinal orientation. The Bible is not part true. It's all true. It is the infallible Word of God. It is written, or was written, by men as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. You must come to understand that and believe that if you're ever going to execute the protocol plan of God. Every jot, every period, every paragraph, every word was put there by the Holy Spirit for you. And people will take it out of context, but not on this show. You come back next week. We're going to continue what it means to have doctrinal orientation, our problem-solving device, number 5. Till then, it's Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.